Open your Bibles this evening to the book of Romans in chapter number 14. The book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans chapter number 14. We have spent a lengthy amount of time there preaching through Romans 14 and part of 15 in time past, looking at unity and diversity. But this evening I want to continue for just a little bit longer on our one another series, and we'll pull a one another from the text that we have this evening. If I'm not mistaken, and I looked online, we have on Wednesday evenings taught 18 one another commands. We looked at 18 one another commands. 17 of those were positive affirmations, or do this to one another. One of them that we've looked at previously was a negative prohibition. Don't do this to one another. And I think that we'll finish this series, as silly as it may sound, I don't know why in my head I want to do two more, so we finish with 20 on a nice even number. But to do that, we're going to spend tonight and, Lord willing, next Wednesday evening looking at a couple more of the negative prohibitions. We've looked at numerous, and there are others. I could go further, but I think I risk wearing you out. There are others. There are 35, there's as many 50, depending on how you wanted to slice it, one another commands. But again, one another demands community. And I want to spend tonight and the Lord willing next Wednesday night as well, looking at the don't do side of one another, the don't do this, over the last or closing of this series. So not only are there direct divine instructions on how we should treat one another, there are also direct divine restrictions on how we should not treat one another. And this evening, from Romans chapter number 14, it won't take you long to pick up on the negative, don't do this one another. From our text, look at verse 13, Romans 14, 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So this evening, don't judge one another. We find this direct command given to us, this negative prohibition given to us here in this passage. But for a little bit of help, because when we read that word judge, it's so misused in our day, and people, don't judge me. Who are you to judge? And it gets so misused and abused. I want to help clarify, and I want to do so by reading from a couple of different translations how this verse begins. The Amplified says, let us not criticize one another anymore, but rather determine this. Rather than coming with judge, the Amplified helps us understand, let us not criticize. The English Standard Version says, do not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block, and so on. Simply stated, Christians should not have a judgmental spirit towards one another. More specifically, fellow Christians, especially fellow church members, ought not to be overly critical of each other. There it is. When Paul writes to the churches of Rome, And he says here, let us not therefore judge one another. We're going to get to this in just a minute. We'll clarify what he is and isn't saying, but the gist of it is this. Don't be a fault finder of your fellows and friends. Don't be a fault finder of your fellows and friends. And just in case you fade out before the end of the sermon, it's just as simple. Don't be overly judgmental. Don't be crude, hard, callous towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. And here's why. Because you need the same grace extended to you as they need extended to them. Here's why you shouldn't be overly critical, condemning, fault-finding. Why? Because you're in need of grace just like they're in need of grace. Although we're really good at seeing where everybody else needs help. Not so good at seeing where we help. In other words, Christian, don't pass judgment on others or be graceless. Don't be disparaging of their walk with Christ. Don't be disparaging of their walk. Now, it's true. It is absolutely true that all of us are at different places of spiritual maturity. Some are more mature than others. Some have been saved a lot longer. We are at different places of spiritual maturity. However, and I think that it should go absolutely hand in glove. The more mature a Christian is, the more humble they should be. The more mature they are, the more humble they should be. The more they realize how desperately they need the long-suffering patience of God Almighty. Fault-finding and finger-pointing is easy. It's easy. And if we, and there's a reason why, now don't forget this, there's a reason why we are given all of these one another positive affirmations and the negative prohibitions. There's a reason, because we'll do it. We're prone to it. Our old nature, even the kindest, saintliest old Christian you know, still has to battle with being judgmental towards others. I would encourage you this evening, rather than being a criticizer, be a complimenter. Anyone can find fault. Look, if you're looking for what's wrong with me, you don't have to look far. You really don't. My list of what's wrong with me is even longer than your list of what's wrong with me. But rather than finding the weaknesses in each other, rather than singling out the failures of one another, how about this instead? Intentionally, and I'm serious, intentionally find strong points in one another. Mentally make a decision. Rather than focusing on what they do wrong, I'm going to try to pay more attention to what they do well as a Christian. What if, rather than being critical, overly critical, really mercilessly critical, what if instead we efforted making a mental list of all the strong points that you observe in others? There's a lot to be said for what we do wrong, what I do wrong. But there's a lot to be said for what you do right also as a Christian. And it's easy to point at this person and say, they never do this. Why don't they do that? This man, they've struggled with this for years. And man, what is their problem? That's easy. But rather than doing that, what if we focus on the positive in one another? Compliment and encourage the strong spiritual behavior and attributes of other Christians. rather than pointing at their every weak point. I suppose that most of us, I don't know if all of us, but at least most of us are naturally nitpickers. Our fallen nature wrongly thinks that somehow by putting someone else down, that picks us up or lifts us up. But that's not the case. It's not the case. Putting someone else down doesn't make us look any better in the sight of God or man. It just doesn't. Now, I want to offer a couple of clarifying statements or disclaimers. The command that is given here, not to judge, just like the judge not in Matthew chapter 7 from the Sermon on the Mount, can be misunderstood and misapplied. Paul is not saying that the church has no right to exercise discipline, for example. When it says don't judge one another, people can run too far with that and say, listen, you're not supposed to judge, you know, people within the church. Well, if you carry that too far, and I think really if you misunderstand what he is saying, you'd have to try to explain 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for example, where Paul instructs the church there to discipline that man that was living in open sin, sexual sin, within the church. Put him out. Discipline him, exclude him. And in order to do that, a church must make a determination, pass judgment. So it's not that there's never a time or place for judgment. We should never turn a blind eye towards sin. Nor is Paul saying that we don't discern and in the right way address good and bad behavior in one another. But there is a time and a place to do that and to do it well. But there's also a time and a place to extend grace. And what Paul is, he's not saying you can never judge things, you can never sit somebody down and say to them, listen, I'm concerned about this part of your walk with Christ. He's not saying it. He's saying don't have a critical spirit. Don't have a judgmental spirit. Don't be rash. Don't be harsh. Don't be a fault finder walking around seeing what everybody else does wrong. Privately and corporately, yes. Sometimes we must make determinations. We must make judgments. But what Jesus warned against in the Sermon on the Mount, though people throw around that judge not, though people throw it around, what Jesus warned against, what Paul here is warning against, is having an unforgiving or harshly critical spirit, having a judgmental spirit. There is a vast difference, friends, between determining that an action or behavior is sinful before God and passing judgment on someone mercilessly without knowing all the details that's going on. We all must fight against Phariseeism. And that's really what it comes down to. Pride and self-righteousness. An overly critical spirit. It's not that others don't mess up. We do. It's not that others don't disappoint us. They do. I do. It happens. But Phariseeism gives no grace, no forgiveness, no room, no mercy. It's cold-hearted, calloused judgmentalism. That's what Paul is warning against. That's what Jesus warns against. It is unchristian to expect to be shown grace, but you refuse to show grace. It's unchristian. I battle with it. I think many of us do. This evening, I'm going to give you three reasons, and I'm going to give them relatively quickly. I'm going to give you three reasons why we should not judge one another. Three reasons. The first, contextually, is pulled right out of this passage. Do not Let us not therefore judge one another. Do not be overly critical of one another. In the context, if you'll remember, and I'm not going to go back and re-preach all this, we've spent a considerable time, I think we preached 9 sermons, 10 maybe, out of Romans 14 in the beginning of 15. Contextually, reason number one why we shouldn't judge others is this. People see things differently than we do. And that doesn't mean they're wrong. People see things differently than we do. Contextually, Paul is talking to this church at Rome that is this hodgepodge of believers from every background known to man. Rome was the epicenter of the world. They had Christians from all over the world that were brought there. Many of them brought there as servants, slaves, really. And so you got all these people from all these different backgrounds. Some worship this God, some worship that God. And, you know, each religion had its own practices and sacrifices, and they've all become Christians. I'm sorry, but for those who have become Christians and are brought together in a one another community, they're trying to learn how to live with each other. And you had some who, this particular day of the year of the calendar was a high day, a holy day. Well, this group over here didn't care anything about that. It didn't mean anything to them. But this day was important to them. Or you had others that part of their religious ceremony was to sacrifice meat to their idol, to their god, and then consume that meat. And then when they became Christians, they realized, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, and not the sacrificing part. Obviously, they knew that would be wrong, but is it okay to eat the meat? And contextually, again, this is what Paul is talking about, where he'll say, listen, a ribeye steak's a ribeye steak. Didn't matter whether you sacrifice it to an idol or not. There are no gods except the one true God. It doesn't change the molecular makeup of the meat because it was sacrificed to an idol. But there are some Christians who refuse to eat that for that very reason. And Paul is saying, don't be judgmental of them. If they feel compelled to bind themselves to that certain behavior, don't be judgmental. Don't be overly critical of them. Give them room. Give them grace. There's nothing wrong with it. But if they still want to abide by that certain scruple, and I think that's a very good word for it, if they want to abide by that certain scruple, then let them. Let them live that way. Believe it or not, I'm about to freeze to death up here, so I might turn that thing off. Knock the ice off my hands. And so there's a long litany of things. Why shouldn't we be judgmental? Because people see things differently. We all have our different preferences. What we think is permissible or not permissible. How certain people observe holidays, whether they homeschool their kids or public school or private school, or, you know, what they do on Sundays or don't do on Sundays, how they dress, don't dress when they come. There's all of these things that we all have our own opinions about. And it's not things that the Bible is specific about. It's just things that we prefer. And I don't even like really using the word conviction unless it's biblically based. We all have preferences. Some think, you know, we should only do this. Others think, no, it's permissible to do that. And whatever that it is, the warning, the admonition is don't be critical of others who don't see things just like you. In these tertiary issues, he's not talking about fundamentals of the faith. He's not talking about the resurrection contextually. He's talking about areas of where the Bible just doesn't specifically say you can or you can or you should or you shouldn't. Give each other grace. Just because you don't agree with that certain behavior, and I'm not talking about if it's sinful. I'm saying if it, you know, they insist on getting up at 5 a.m. every morning and going to the gym, and that's great. But just because somebody else may not get up till 8 a.m., that doesn't mean they're wrong, or even later in some cases. So don't be overly critical just because people see things differently than you. I would ask you to just look again at the reaffirmation of this. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 10. Verse 3, let not him that eats, that is talking about those meats that are sacrificed, or whether it's some people chose to lead a vegetarian lifestyle for whatever reason. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. And then he asks this question, who are you? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, each of us serve one, ultimately, one master, and that's King Jesus. Now, we have a responsibility to serve one another, and that's one of the one another's I won't get to, but serve one another. But ultimately, he's our judge. We ought not be judging one another because we're accountable to him. All of us ought to be so busy rowing the ship that we don't have time to criticize everybody else. All we're trying to do is please the master of the vessel. Reason one, we should not judge because people see things differently. Reason number two, why should we not judge or be sharply critical of others? Because every single one of us here have areas of spiritual weakness. Reason two, every single one of us have areas of spiritual weakness. In particular, I have in mind the idea of besetting sins. Besetting sins. I should not criticize you because you continue to struggle with some particular sin when the truth about it is old Kiger's been struggling with some sins for a long time himself. It's really easy to minimize mine and maximize yours. But that's being unjust. I struggle with my health, with eating better. I'm trying to do better. I'm on a journey trying to do better. But listen, don't sit in the place of judgment over others as if you, as if you or I have got it all figured out. We don't. We all have our areas of weakness. Paul warns about the sin which does so easily beset us. What I may struggle with, you may look at that and think, well, that's just dumb. Why do you struggle with that? But I may look at your weakness and say, that's just dumb. Why do you struggle with that? In other words, the point is humility teaches us we're all in need of grace. Every single one another here needs God's forgiving grace and his long-suffering and patience as he has dealt with us and convicted us over this sin for decades now, but we're still struggling with it. So extend that same grace to one another. Jesus would say it something like this, it's really hard to get that splinter out of your neighbor's eye when you got a 2x4 in your own. In other words, we all have areas of spiritual weakness. Thirdly, the third reason, and I've made an allusion to this, I didn't want to get too far ahead of myself. The third reason why we should not judge or be overly critical is because we're unfair critics. We are unfair critics. And this third point actually breaks into three subpoints. What do I mean when I say we are unfair critics? Well, number one, we are more lenient of our failings than we are with the failings of others. We're more lenient, more forgiving with our own failings than we are with the failures of others. Or, to flip it around, we're overly, often, overly critical of the faults of others but really overly easygoing about our own faults. And this is something we've got to war against. It's something we've got to be bad. We're just unfair. We're unjust in our judgment of others. Only God knows all. Only God can see all and know what's going on behind the scenes that you don't see and that you don't know. If you can write lengthy books on the weaknesses of others, but you only have the Cliff Note versions of what's wrong with you, you have a judgmental spirit. I struggle with that. Secondly, under the idea of we're unfair critics, not only are we more lenient of others, lenient of our failings as opposed to others. Secondly, we're unfair critics because, and we do this, because we compare our strengths to another's weaknesses. We compare where we're strong to the weaknesses of another rather than putting apples and apples. We're always biased toward ourselves. We say things, I don't know why that person just can't. Well, why don't you just? Right? That's where we are. We are unfair simply because we compare, this is where I'm really good at, and look at them. But you don't look at where they're strong at and compare that to ourselves. And the third reason why we are unfair critics and why we shouldn't judge one another, the third reason is we all have our blind spots. In other words, please don't get mad. You're here on a Wednesday night and it's raining and yucky outside. Thank you for coming. We all have our blind spots. In other words, there are areas where you're in the wrong, but you can't see it because it's a blind spot. If you could see it, it wouldn't be a blind spot. And there are areas in my life where I'm not doing what I should, or I'm not living as godly as I should, I'm not as committed as I should be, or I yield myself to this, and I don't see it and I don't know it. Now, iron will sharpen iron, but there's a difference between iron sharpening iron and iron grinding something down to nothing. I remember, for example, this lady at the post office lecturing me on my weight and saying, Brother Lewis, you know, you're really not honoring the Lord by presenting your body in the holy way. And the whole time she's lecturing me, she is puffing on cigarettes. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. The point is, I think you get. That's a little unfair, wouldn't you agree? Hence, we all have our blind spots. We're all really good at seeing the deficiencies in others, but not so much our own. So we have our blind spots. So in other words, I shouldn't be too hard on you in this specific area. Even when I see a weakness, I should pray for you. I should try to encourage you. And there will be a right way and a proper way to challenge you. We've dealt with that in the past of admonishing one another. But I'm going to show you grace because I got my own problems too. And I need grace. So we are often very unfair judges of ourselves and unfair judges of others. Human pride and self-righteousness skews our view of ourselves and of others. Rather than being a criticizer, be a complimenter. Friends, I strongly encourage you this. I'd like to shout it from every rooftop. Don't jump to conclusions about your fellow Christians. And I plead with you. And Mark Dever's got some good work on this. Mark Dever says we should default to giving fellow Christians the benefit of the doubt. That should be our natural default, giving them the benefit of the doubt unless and until we have a reason not to. Don't judge too quickly. Don't judge too harshly. Don't judge without mercy. I've done this. I'm wrong for it. But here it is. I'm so thankful that God is more patient with me than I often am with others. So thankful that God is more patient over my failures and my faults than I often am over the faults of others. I need grace. You need grace. I need God's patience. You need God's patience. I need God's forgiveness. You need God's forgiveness. We stand in daily need of the unfailing love of God and the love and patience of men. Lots of things could be said about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But think with this as I close. Though Jesus is the judge, he does not judge without mercy. He is not callously critical. Instead, look at his ministry. Did he not show mercy to a woman at a well? Did he not extend patience and grace to the woman who was taken in adultery? Ask them if Jesus, though he is the king and the judge, ask them if he is not also full of mercy, grace, and compassion. And then ask some folks around here and they'll also tell you he's a God of mercy. He's a God of patience. He's a God of love. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ forgives our blind spots, forgives our judgmental spirit, forgives our overly critical thoughts and behavior sometimes. His blood can cleanse us whiter than snow. So if we have failed God in this way, and I have, let us confess it and repent. And brothers and sisters, don't judge one another. Don't judge one another. Be patient, kind, long-suffering, and forgiving. There's a great quote here. I'm going to give you this much and then I'll be done. The writer asked this question: who are you when you judge? None other than a God wannabe, trying to take the place that only belongs to God. That's why I saved that. I've got this. It's a great book. Anyway, great book. But nonetheless, I hope you have a good evening. Get home safe. I don't know what the weather may or may not be, but God.